Thank you, Clark, for leading these songs that have really prepared our mind to worship this morning. Last week, I had actually requested to Clark that we sing songs about worship, because this morning, that's what I want us to focus on, is worship. If God was standing here in front of us, how would our worship be different? First of all, I would be careful not to do anything wrong. If God was physically in front of us, I would make sure that he would be able to hear every word I'm singing. I think I would be more thoughtful in my prayer, since me and God would be face to face. Of course, I would make sure to listen to every single word that God is saying. Even though God isn't physically in front of us this morning, our worship is still seen and heard by God. Because what we do and how we matter, and what we do and how we do it, it matters to God. Our worship this morning needs to be scriptural and sincere. Every time we gather here at the church, there are two questions that we need to ask ourselves. The first one is, am I worshiping God's way? We do not have the freedom to worship the way that we want to. We see many examples of this throughout Scripture. In Exodus 32, when Moses was away on the mountain, the Israelites made a golden calf that they worship. And this made God angry. He was determined to judge them. Leviticus chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu, they made a strange fire that wasn't commanded by God. And because of this, we read that they died. I want us to focus in the book of Malachi. Can you turn there with me? Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew, to help you find it. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, I will start in verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you may not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. These priests were doing their duty. They were offering sacrifices to God. But the problem with this is that these animals, they were crippled. They were lame. They were sick. This isn't what God wanted from them. To make matters even worse, the people were giving these priests these sacrifices, and they were accepting them. So because these priests had disrespected God, he cursed them and he denied their sacrifices. And what I just read to all of us, there's a consequence when we don't do things God's way. The second question we need to ask ourselves is, am I worshiping with my heart? Turn your attention to verse 13 in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi 1 verse 13. But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame, or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord. So these priests, they were insincere in their duty. They were just going through the motions of presenting these sacrifices to God. They had the wrong attitude when it came to worship. Have any of you ever come to worship with the wrong attitude? I have. As a teenager, there were times when I just wanted to stay in bed, but I got dragged to church anyway. I would actually fall asleep in the pew. Have any of you ever done that? I would put my head on my dad's shoulder, and I cringe at that because how rude of me to fall asleep during the preacher's sermon. Being a preacher now, oh, I feel bad because I know how that probably would have made him felt. But there were also times when I was sitting in the pews and I could not wait for it to be over because I wanted to catch the game in a few minutes. How do you think these attitudes make God feel? God gave us his son, and here we are getting angry because church is running over by a few minutes. While we are commanded to worship, let us remember that this is something that we get to do because we are called to be God's people. He has forgiven us of our sins. We need to respond with a grateful heart. And because of this, we should always be grateful to God. But we also need to come to worship with reverence. Let's remember that our God is a holy God. We need to make sure that we are honoring him properly. God is pleased when we worship his way with our hearts. So every time we come together, we need to make sure that our worship is authorized and authentic. Our worship needs to be biblical and genuine. It needs to be scriptural and sincere. We need to listen to him. We need to respond with our hearts. Needless to say, how we worship, it matters to God. And we need to take this seriously because we should want to please him in what we do. So during this time that we have this morning, let's make it our goal for our worship to be pleasing to God. So for this time to be pleasing to him, there are two things that we need to do. The first thing is we need to listen to God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23 tells us, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." I had put this verse on the screen for us to remember whose authority we are under. We have a command, we have a duty as the church to obey the commandments of the Lord. We do not follow our own authority. There may be some times when we may want to add or do something different in worship, thinking there's no harm to it. But that doesn't mean that God approves of these changes. In fact, we may have good intentions to want to do something differently, but that does not mean that God is pleased with it, because good intentions don't make us right. I just gave examples, a few examples of people who had good intentions, but we saw the way God responded to them. Let's take a look at someone else who had good intentions to do something differently. Turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. This is a part of the story of David. As we all know, David was the man after God's own heart. When David became king of Israel, they went right into battle with the Philistines. Now, the Philistines had stolen the Ark of the Covenant years prior to this. So after they defeated the Philistines, well, David was going to bring the Ark back to Jerusalem. And so when David was transporting the Ark, he decided to make a cart that was pulled by oxen. And you may be thinking, oh, that's great. They're finally getting the Ark back. This was a huge moment in Israel's history. And you may also say, what could possibly go wrong with this? Well, let's take a look. 1 Chronicles 13, starting in verse 7. "And they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio were driving the cart. And David and all of Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and cymbals and trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Why, Uzzah? Why did Uzzah have to die? He was just trying to support the ark to keep it from falling. Well, there were a few commandments that were broken that day. First of all, God wanted the ark to be carried by the Levites. Actually, there were poles on the side of the ark that the Levites were to carry on their shoulders. Well, David broke that when he had the ark carried on a cart pulled by oxen. And because of this, another law was broken. When Uzzah put out his hand to touch the ark, when God had clearly said, "You do not touch this. This is holy. You will die if you touch this ark." Well, as we just said, David had good intentions to do something differently. If he listened, if he remembered what God said, Uzzah wouldn't have died. We may have good intentions from our heart when we do things differently, but again, that does not mean that God is pleased with these things. There are consequences when we don't do things God's way. To please God, we need to pay attention to what he says through his word. The Bible is clear about the things that we do here this morning. There's a certain reason why we do things the way we do. For example, we meet on the first day of the week. We see examples of that in Scripture. We partake in the Lord's Supper every week. We see examples of that. We give. We see more examples of this. Is the Bible clear about everything that we do in worship? For example, can we use instruments? If you've grown up in the church, this is one of the top questions that you've probably been asked. Why don't you use instruments? There isn't a verse in the New Testament that says, don't do or don't use them. This is a common misconception that a lot of people have, that just because they used instruments in the Old Testament, let's assume that we can use them today. Well, let's be reminded that even though they used instruments in the Old Testament, what they used and how they used them, it was still commanded by God. We see a clear example of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, if you want to look over there with me real quick. Second Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for the commandment was from the Lord through his prophets. As we just read, they used instruments to worship God. Why? Why do they use these specific instruments? Well, God had told them this is what he wanted. They used what God had authorized. In our praise, it's important to do only what God says it's okay to do. In the New Testament, we see examples that God wants us to sing. God wants us to sing from our hearts. We don't see any commandments. We don't see any examples. We don't have any indications that they use instruments to praise God. So in this case, this is one of the times when we need to pay attention to the silence. That just because God is silent about something, that does not give us the freedom to do whatever we want. We also need to be careful not to be influenced by the culture. That just because the mainstream religious culture is doing something, that does not mean God is pleased with it. Unfortunately, there are a few churches of Christ that have started using instruments and their service. Do you think that's because God told them that's what he wanted? Or do you think they're just trying to adapt to the culture? Again, the reason we do the things we do, is it because this is what I want, or is it because this is what God wants? If we did things my way here, I believe the focus will be more on me and less on Christ. We aren't worshiping to be entertained. We are worshiping to please and to offer thanksgiving to the Lord. We are gathering to listen and learn from His word. So God is pleased when we do what He says. God has given us patterns to follow. We see this by direct commandments and examples found in Scripture. It's important that we follow these patterns with our hearts directed to the Lord. Our worship is pleasing when we listen to God and when we worship with our hearts. Our worship needs to be done with our hearts tied into these things, into these acts, because worship is affectionate. We can get numb to do the same thing over and over again. And we can also be tempted to see church as something almost like a checklist. Like, I went to church for the day. Okay, I did my good deed for the day. It's important to be obedient and heartfelt at the same time. Turn your attention to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, I want us to see an example of a group of people who were pretty obedient, but they lacked hearts in what they were doing. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and of pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." What these Pharisees were observing wasn't something from the Old Testament law. They had taken their own commandments, their own tradition, and they basically treated it as doctrine. In other words, they were placing their own commandments over the commandments of God. To give the Pharisees credit, they were serious rule followers. They were obedient, but as we just saw, their hearts were far from God. We need to be careful not to fall into the trap of being like a Pharisee. When we come to church, we need to bring our hearts along with us. There have been many times when I've come to worship and my heart didn't come with me. And at that point, my actions are meaningless. God has given us commandments of what He wants us to do during this time. And we are called to follow these commandments while our hearts are tied into it. Because these commandments were meant to be meaningful. We have commandments on how we are supposed to partake in the Lord's Supper. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord's Supper is one of those things to where we can get numb to do it week after week. But here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul writes on how we can prevent ourselves from doing this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 24. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want us to first recognize that what we use for the Lord's Supper is authorized. God wants us to use unleavened bread. He wants us to use fruit of the cup. Anything else would be going against what God would want us to do. If it was me, I would probably say, hey, let's do milk and cookies. If it was Randy's decision, he would probably say, hey, let's have chips and salsa for the Lord's Supper. But that's not what God wants us to use. Unleavened bread and fruit of the cup. And now there's nothing magical about these things, but they are special. They're special when we remember what they signify. They're special when we remember the sacrifice which Christ did for us. And for this to be special, we need to prepare our minds for this. Pick it back up with me in verse 27. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Randy spent time with us this morning helping us to prepare our minds to partake in the Lord's Supper. Because if we don't have the right mindset, we are guilty of doing this in an unworthy manner. We prepare our mind so this wonderful act won't be done careless and lose meaning for it. We prepare our minds so we can examine ourselves. We prepare our minds so we can honor God properly. How else do we use our hearts in worship? Well, we use our hearts in our praise. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us how we are supposed to sing praises to our God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's another example of God telling us how he wants us to praise him. And no matter what circumstance we are in our life, no matter what we're going through, we are commanded to sing to the Lord from our hearts. Have you ever thought about why God wants us to sing to him? Well, singing is another way of expressing our love to God. We sing about his wonders. We sing about his mercy. We sing about his amazing grace. We sing about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. How can we not sing with thankfulness and gladness in our hearts to the Lord? If our hearts aren't set on thanking and praising God, then we are just reciting words on a screen. Let me be the first one to tell you that I have come to church many times with our heart problem. I have come in here on Sunday mornings tired. I have sat in these pews. I'm kind of like a zombie. Almost have no emotion, checking my watch, waiting for it to be over. But yet I could go to a game that day maybe and cheer my heart out for that team on the field. Or I could go to a concert later that week and sing my heart out for that person on the stage. And let me tell you, that bothers me. That bothers me because God is the one who deserves my all. Did you bring your heart to worship today? Being heartfelt means that we are sorrowful over our sin. Being heartfelt means that we are grateful for forgiveness. Being heartfelt means that we are submitting ourselves to God. we will continue to remain faithful when we walk out of these doors later. God wants us to be sincere and authentic when we praise Him. Our worship needs to be biblical and genuine. God has given us instructions. He's given us a pattern to follow. It's important that we follow this with sincere and loving hearts. When we worship, our focus needs to be on what we can give to God. We offer thanksgiving. We sing praises to His name. We remember to do His will. Our worship should be set on pleasing the Lord. And let this be our goal every time we gather to worship Him. During this time, we also examine the condition of our spirit. And sometimes when we do this, we will see that we have failed. But thanks be to Jesus, who has given Himself up on that cross and forgiven us of our sins. If there is anyone here this morning who is struggling, I want you to remember that you are surrounded by a church family who is willing to help you in this hard time that you're going through. But there may be someone here who is not yet a disciple of Christ. I want to remind you that you have an opportunity to be both obedient and heartfelt by being baptized for the remission of your sins and become a new believer and follower in Jesus. If you wish to make this decision this morning, you may come forward as we stand and as we sing.